Listen, they may not have hit every note spot on, and they may have not even got all the words in, but I believe the youngest know what they're singing about, and that's what makes the difference. I'm glad that he didn't throw the clay away, because if he had to throw the marred clay away, he'd have threw me away a long time ago. So if you've got your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter number 1, we'll go ahead and I would invite you to stand and giving reverence to the reading of God's Word. There is a remedy for our sin nature and sin problems. God wants to help you today. I truly believe that. Satan uses the very instrument of sin to keep you defeated. Satan used the very instrument of sin to get you depressed and to keep you from coming in and worshiping and walking in the newness and the freeness of life. But I'm telling you what, my friends, you can have victory. You can walk in the newness of life and have life abundantly. And not just life eternally, but have life abundantly down here. But you're going to have to get rid of the sin nature. You're going to have to get rid of the sin problem. So I asked the question, why don't preachers preach against sin? Because every time that we preach against sin, it seems like the people take it as if the preacher's mad at us or something. I'm not mad at you. Honest to goodness, I love you. I'm not mad at you. And if I preach hard against sin, it's because I want you to be delivered from it. I don't want Satan to keep abusing you and keeping you down and out and destitute of his word. And that's what Satan will do. He'll try to rob you of your joy. He'll try to steal your testimony and kill your character among the people that you should be an effective witness to. Don't let him do that to you. So here we are, and the verse number 4 tells the reason of the whole message today. I'll read that fourth verse with emphasis, and then we'll go on through the rest of it that I will read. The fourth verse in the book of 1 John in chapter number 1, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. It said, "In these things write we unto you," and here's the reason, "that your joy may be full." I want you to have joy. I want you to have fullness of life. I want you to have unction from on high. I want you to understand that God loves you and he thought you were to die for, or he would not have sent his darling son to an old cross that he would have to bleed, suffer, and die. Now, let me tell you, the things that I'm going to preach today are the same things that John wrote about. It's about the things that can help you if you will rightly deal with them and rightly divide the word of God, that your joy may be full. Do you not want joy to the full? Do you not want to be just filled up with God's goodness and grace and glory? Do you not want to understand, Brother Greg, that there is something beyond this veil of tears and this robe of flesh that we're saddled with? Bless God, there's hope, and that hope is in none other than Jesus Christ. It's all about him today. But sin has become a great burden. Brother Tim opened our Sunday school class this morning. He opened up on the family. When Satan affects your family, do you know what that does then? It affects this church. And if it affects this church, it will affect your family. That thing goes hand in hand, but the family was instituted and ordained long before there was a church mentioned. God always had a remedy, though. But my friends, I want you to deal with the sin that cumbers you, that hurts you, and it sidetracks you and keeps you discouraged and defeated. Just deal with it. You say, "Well, I don't have any." We'll deal with that too here in just a minute. Because it says if we say we don't, then we too have a problem. Let's finish reading our scriptures. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now I want you to hear how many times the little word "if" is used, and how many times the word "sin." I think "if" is used at least 6 times, and the word "sin" or "sins" or "sinned" is used 8 times. Listen here. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Here again, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Brother Tim, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated, I want you to be comfortable in the pews, but I don't want you to be comfortable in your skin. I don't want you to get satisfied in your skin. You say, I'm just going to sit right here and I'll get through this when he's going to preach about 34 minutes and we'll be out the door. And then I can go on about doing what I've always done and I enjoy. Let me tell you, there's gratification in sin for a season. The Bible tells you that in the book of Hebrews 11:25, that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But my friend, that season will soon leave you. And when that season, even as fall gives way to winter, as we've seen this week through that icy mess that we have. But even as that season changes hand, that season of sin that you've enjoyed the pleasures of for a little while, it'll leave you barren of soul and it'll leave you with a broken fellowship with the Father. If you think God will have fellowship with you and you continue to dwell in the midst of sin and keep that right in the middle of your heart, you're deceiving yourselves because the Bible said he had no fellowship with darkness. He is light, and light and darkness do not comprehend the same space. That light will drive out the darkness, but there's a unique little letter that is aptly and appropriately placed right in the middle of the word sin. That's a three-letter word with one letter uniquely placed, Brother Tim, right in the middle of that. What is that letter? Go ahead and say it collectively. Do you know why I find myself right in the middle of sin? It's there for a reason. I believe that whenever we look into scriptures and we go back into the old Bible or follow it forward, I don't care if you're looking at Samson when he laid his head in the lap of Delilah, or whether you're looking at some of the other old patriarchs of God, every one of them, and I don't care who you are, have got a sin problem. They've got a sinful nature about them. David got caught up with the three, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Whenever he looked over at Bathsheba. I mean, there was the first king by the name of Saul, and God blessed him, head and shoulders above everybody else. And Saul could have been a righteous king, could have dwelt fine among the people, but he didn't do what God said to do. Brother, he become disobedient. God told him to kill King Agag and everything that was down there in the land, but no, he took back the portion of the goods. And then whenever Samuel come back to check on the state of the affairs, there's Saul boastful and bragging about how that he had done all the things that God had done. And then Samuel said, well, then if you did in obedience to what God said, then what am I hearing here? What is this lowing of the oxen? What is this bleating of the sheep that I'm hearing in my ears? And then it was at that time, you're going to find out that God withdrew the spirit from Saul. Let me tell you, sin is a problem. I don't care if you're a king or a beggar. I don't care if you're high or low, big or little, if you're rich or poor. Bless God, sin has a problem, and sin is a problem. Sin's problem in my life is namely this. Marked of man is wicked. Mark the man, I'm saved by God's grace, Brother BJ, but I have a sinful nature about me. And you said, then you need to resign today. Go ahead and step down. Then go ahead and tear out 13 books of the Bible, because the Apostle Paul said that this flesh is weak. He said, that I should do, I don't do. He said, that I shouldn't. He said, that's what I find myself doing. And he said, I get messed up and I get steeped right in the middle of iniquity. And then he proclaimed and he said, who can deliver me from this? Oh, wretched man that I am. Brother John, there ain't but one way to get delivered from what I'm going to preach on today, and that being sin. And the only remedy for sin is that we have a Savior, and that Savior, my friends, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. You visitors okay? Yeah, I'm going to this little country church over here. We'll hear some proper speaker with a great oratory. Brother, we're just going to preach. Because sin is a problem. These kids are going to grow up and it's going to be all around them. And sin, brother, is a problem. I don't care who you are, Brother Archie. Sin is a problem for every single one of us. But it can be dealt with. It can be tamed. It can be conquered. It can be covered. And that's what the route you choose to go, Brother Chris. You just want to cover your sin. Bless God, the Bible said you won't prosper if you do that. But bless God, I find out that if you'll confess it, he's faithful, Brother Graham, and he's just to forgive it if you'll just get that thing laid out just right. But so many of us just want to dabble in it. I won't get in real deep. I'll just kind of mess around the fringes of it. My friends, either you're a sinner or you're not. Either you're saved or you're lost. Could be that you're backslidden. And I believe in backsliding is supported by the scriptures. But I don't believe in a 45-year, 20-year, 30-year backsliding. That's not supported. Because the Bible said whenever we slip up and we mess up, that there's going to come something that we don't like to hear about. It's called chastisement. And the Bible said that we're all partakers of it. If you're one of his, bless God, you'll undergo chastening. And he will correct you. And he'll bring you safely back into the fold, right back in the middle of the flock. And if you're not a partaker of that chastening rod of God, God and you've never undergone that, then I got news for you. You're not his. That's the Bible. Bible uses a strong word right there, meaning one who has no father. He said, you are a bastard and not a son. That's Bible. Don't fall out with the preacher. That's scripture. It is what it is. But that little three-letter word that we're going to preach about today, being sin, is namely the one I want to bring out today, is what I'm trying my best to deliver somebody from today with the help of the scriptures. You know, we can go a whole message and never even quote one scripture concerning sin. We can preach, Brother Greg, a 45 or an hour long minute message and never even mention one sin by name. And oh man, we like to hit hard on the abortionist. We like to hit hard on those that live in lascivious nature and fornication, ungodliness. We like to hit the pedophiles. We like to hit the homosexuals. We like to hit the sodomites. We like to hit all of those really hard. And these thieves and drug heads and drug dealers and domestic violence abusers. We like to hit all that, Brother Greg. But we come in here all pious and holy, high and lifted up, looking like somebody. But yet we've got jealousy in our heart. We've got hatred to the one that used to sit beside of us. We've got envy and covetous nature. About him. Ben's got a new truck and I wish I had Ben's truck, and I get a covetous heart about it, and next thing I know I go out and take on three jobs so that I can get a truck like Ben's got, and the next thing I know, because I was covetous of Ben's job or Ben's car or BJ's house or whatever, the next thing I know I took on more debt. And now you know what that's going to do, preacher? That's going to make me work three jobs to have to get what BJ and Ben have. Now I can't come to church anymore, preacher. I'm sorry, just can't be there on Wednesday night anymore. And the next thing you know, well, preacher, they told me that if I just work on Sunday, that would be all double time. And if we get double time in here, guess what, preacher? That's going to require me to work on Sunday, but it won't last forever. My friend, we'll find ourselves, the next thing you know, sin has gripped us and took us out of the very house of God and took us into a place, brother, and it's going to cost you.
That's right.
Sin's going to cost you.
Right.
It surely will. It has a price. Listen at some of these, and I don't expect you to write them all down, but my friends, whether you like it or not, drunkenness is a sin. That's in Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 21. Sodomy is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Incestuous relationships are sin. Rape is a sin. Divorce is a sin. And I've got a scriptural reference for every single one of these. Idolatry, according to the book of Exodus in 32, is a sin. Practicing witchcraft is a sin. Murder is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Lying is a sin. Coveting what is your neighbor's is a sin, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17. Taking bribes is sin. Mockery is a sin. Jealousy is a sin, according to 1 Samuel 18, 8 through 12. Pride is a sin. It tells us that in the book of 1 Samuel 14, 12 through 14. Envy is a sin, according to Galatians 5, 21. Bitterness is a sin. Hatred is a sin. Rebellion is a sin. Being a stiff-necked hypocrite is a sin. Your self-will is a sin. Being unfaithful to prayer, unthankful, unholy, covetous, all these things are sins. But yet we can come in here as preachers and preach a whole hour-long message and never name one.
Yes.
Why do we do that? Well, you might hit your big coffers. You might hit the big money givers if you start preaching about the gambling or you start hitting on some of that stuff. I don't know about that, preacher. You know what happens is, brother, I can preach it and I can show you how the pages of the Word of God, and what people say, well, does it really say that? Well, ask God if it's in there. God meant it to be in there. He don't have any soybeans in here. You say, what soybeans? That's just a substitute. That's a substitute for meat. They put it in burgers and everything else. There's no filler in the Word of God. Every word of it's inspired. It's infallible. It's inerrant. The plenary verses in here, they mean something to God. And we'll just take them for what they are. Boasting's a sin, according to Romans 1:30. Blasphemy is a sin. Wow, man, there's a lot of sin in there. Did you know being unequally yoked with unbelievers is a sin?
Yes.
It's in the book. Do you believe hating your brother without a cause is a sin?
Yes.
Corrupt communications is a sin. Holding grudges is a sin. Cutting your flesh, here we go. Gonna mark up the skin. That's a sin.
Yes.
I don't care if you like it or not. You said, I might have a tattoo top of my head, bottom of my feet. Guess what? That's sin, according to the Word of God.
Yes.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have got off on that one. Nakedness is a sin. Being immodestly appareled is a sin. Gossip and running your mouth about the preacher, that's a sin. Being a busybody is a sin. It's in the scripture. Defiling your body rather than honoring the temple of God is a sin. 1 Timothy 5:8 said being lazy and not even working is a sin. And if the man that does that, he shouldn't even be able to eat. Don't feed the bears. They'll become dependent upon that. Wives, failing to submit to your own husbands is a sin. Disobeying your parents' kids is a sin. Wow. Preacher, you going to get on all that? I just did. Take it up with God. Go back into the scriptures, and I just want to hit a few things as we go. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 8. Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in him. So what's your first point? This is the first point. You can cover your sin, but you will not prosper when you do that. Go back to the Garden of Eden. They had fellowship with God. They walked with God every day. There was a time of the day, the cool of the day, God would come and he would walk with his crown jewel creation. There's Adam and Eve. But on this particular day, Adam and Eve have hid themselves. Why? Because sin had entered the camp. And then God asked the question, where art thou? And Adam said, we have hid ourselves. So what's the first subject or first topic, the first point? It's trying to cover your sin. You say, well, preacher, you don't know about it. Brother Dean, I don't need to know about your sin. I'd rather not know about your sin. I have no little place back here in the back where you come by and slide the window over and move the curtain and said, preacher Mark, you back there? Father, I have sinned. I'm not your father. And I have absolutely no ability to forgive your sin. If you sin against me as the flesh, brother, you come to me and say, brother Mark, I'm sorry. Brother, I will forgive you all day long because you sinned against me personally to my flesh. You sinned against me. But when you sin against God, you better take that up with God. Amen. I can't forgive you for that you blaspheme against God. I don't have that ability. So don't cover your sin. So we see Adam and Eve starting off. And then we see another man by the name of Achan. Who was Achan? Achan was the one that took of the Babylonian garment, took of the shekels of gold and silver right after the defeat at Jericho. And brother, if you try to cover your sin, the Bible said that Achan took that and hid it in the midst of his tent. And brother, there he was going up against Ai. And 36 people lost their lives because of one by the name of Achan, and that he hid the sin. He didn't confess it. He didn't get that thing out. No, he hid it. Don't hide it. You can try to hide it with charity. Ananias and Sapphira thought, well, we'll just do this. We'll keep back a portion. No, give it to God. God's the one that we're responsible toward anyway. You can cover your sin if you want to. David tried to cover his, did he not? Who's that over there? That's Bathsheba. Whole story made short here. He has a relationship with Bathsheba. And then you say, well, where did he try to cover it? He said, whose wife was that? It's Uriah. Go get him. Bring him over here. Bring him here. Got him drunk. Send him back to his own house. He wouldn't go. Next thing you know, said, get him into the middle of the battle. Put him right in the very forefront of the battle. And when you get him up there, withdraw from him. David tried to cover his sin. Why? Because Bathsheba was pregnant with his child. He tried to make it look like it was Uriah's. That didn't work out well. So he said, well, we just had to do one thing. The honorable thing is just to kill him. Tried to cover it. Have you ever noticed that one little sin builds upon another one and another one and another one and another one? Next thing you know, the Bible says that when it's conceived, and what happens later, it brings forth what? Death. I've hit on Achan. I've hit on Adam and Eve. I've hit on David. I could hit on Ananias. I could hit on Judas. I could hit on several other people that thought they had it well hidden. But there's nothing hidden. My friends, there's nothing hidden from God. Absolutely nothing. It's all before him. It's exposed before him. If he's omnipotent, he is. If he's omniscient, omnipresent, he's everywhere. He sees all, knows all, Brother John. Then there's nothing hidden from him. Absolutely. Nothing that we could hide from him. Brother Chris and Miss Katie sang that song. And it's a good song. It's fitting for this today. Because if you have sinned, Brother Chris, what does he do to the clay, buddy? Does he just take that big old marred piece of clay that's in the hand of the potter and chunk it off into the dustbin of history and discard it? No. He takes that clay back to the potter's wheel. And he has that precious oil. He has that precious water. And he takes that and he breaks that clay. He's going to break that clay. The Bible said he deals with that of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Brother Tim, you don't think God will break you down? You got another thing coming. But when he breaks you, you know what he does? The Bible said that he makes you again as it seemed good to the potter to make. He makes you a vessel of honor. He doesn't throw the clay away. So the first thing when you try to do, if you try to cover your sin, you're not going to prosper. That's found in verse number 8. The Bible said in verse number 8 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, I didn't write that. I didn't put that in there. But my friends, you cannot cover your sin and expect that you're going to prosper. It's not going to happen. I can tell you stories of our own lives and how that we struggled early on in our marriage. We had sin in the camp and things going on. But it was only after Mara was born. Mara's probably, a couple years old. And the next thing you know, we're in church. And Mara's in church and the family's in church. And I want you to know, honey, is that not when God just started blessing our little family? Brother Tim, God just started pouring out blessing. And I'm telling you what, I put Malachi to the test. I started tithing the income and started honoring God with my life. And Miss Annette, you know what happened? God blesses with Macy, and it just seemed like it kept coming. And the more we had honored God, the more God would bless us. And here I stand before you today, a blessed man. And you know why, Brother Kenny? It's because I didn't cover the sin, but rather confessed it before God. Got that out in the open and let God deal with it.
Amen.
You can cover it if you want to in verse number 8, but look what happens in verse number 9. If you cover it, there's a price to pay for that. But look in verse number 9. He said that if we confess it rather than cover it, he's faithful and just to forgive us of it. And not just to cleanse us of it, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get honest with God about your sin. Tell him about your sinful nature. Tell him, he already knows, Brother Marty, he knows what our weakness is. He knows that. But how much better is it when we confess it? See, he already knows it, but he wants us to confess it. Tell him, well, I'm struggling with this, Lord, and let him help you with it. Once you acknowledge the problem, he'll help you with that problem. You ever seen a drunk go get help before he finally realized, I'm a drunk? He won't get help. An alcoholic won't get help until he realizes, man, I got a problem. I'm beyond help in my flesh. I can't do this. He's going to go get some help somewhere. How about a trip to Calvary? How about a trip to the altar? Keep going, verse number 10. Cover your sins in verse number 8. Confess them in verse number 9. Or you can do this. Just claim you have none. Right there it is, Brother Greg. In verse number 9, it said that if we confess them, verse number 10, that if we say we have not, then we make him a liar. Go ahead and say that, Brother Kenny. I ain't sinned. Let me know how that works out for you. Brother John, what's it say whenever you make the claim that you have none? We make him a liar. Brother, he's not a liar. There's no unrighteous, there's no untruth, there's no lie in him. God, the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. So why don't you just confess it rather than cover it? Don't claim you don't have any because Lord knows in your heart you do. Now I want to take you to another little place in the scripture. You can go there if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to, but in the book of Romans. Chapter number 6, in verse number 23. Everybody quotes it. I quote it all the time. I love the verse of Scripture. We read through it, and we don't even give time for the little parenthetical in the middle of it. But my friends, there's a little pause right in the middle of all this. He didn't put a period in there. The Bible said, let me get the verse of Scripture that coincides with it. And this is namely in chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And it says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, I told you, you could live in defeat. You could live in discouragement. You can live in depression if you want to, or you can get out from under that. I told you just now that you can cover your sins or you can confess your sins. You can claim you don't have any. But Brother Scott, wouldn't it be a whole lot better to just finally conquer those sins through the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Here it is in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, Brother. If we confess. If. Right here, there's no if in this. It's pointed out, Brother James, it just says it. It don't say if. It says the wages of sin is death. There's no question about that, Brother Kenny. There's no misunderstanding about that. He said, for the wages of sin is death.
Right.
But I told you, there's a little pause right in the middle of the action. Brother, we ought to take note right there that if the wages of sin is death, brother, we ought to look for that. Don't everybody here want to live to be a ripe old age? Ain't that what the goal is? You take care of your body, you eat right, you live right, you lose weight, you find the proverbial fountain of youth, you try your best. best to do right. Why? Because you got kids that you love. You got grandkids that you love. You got things in this world that you love. And my friend, you ought to love that. I love this church. I love you folks. And I want to be around as long as God will let me. But at the end is this. Listen, the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. You said, as that speaking of an earthly death and an untimely demise, an untimely grave, it could. But my friends, that's talking about an eternal separation from an almighty God. The Bible talks about two deaths in the Bible, the one of the natural and the one of the spiritual. The Bible talks about that one in the book of the Revelation, and death and the books were opened in the books, and which is the book, and another book, which is the book of life. And the Bible said that their names that were not there, Brother Kenny, that were written therein, the Bible said that the sea gave up the dead in them, and that hell gave up the dead in them. And the Bible said they were judged, and whose name was not found in the Lamb's book of life were cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. That ought to cause every one of us. If sinful nature causes me to be have a broken fellowship with God in an untimely demise, even going into a devil's hell, I ought to take notice of that. My son-in-law being a firefighter. There's no doubt, Brother Jake, I know this, that you go for training. You go for a lot of training. I'm wondering, what in the world are they doing now? They're learning how to use the jaws of life to get somebody and extract somebody from a crumpled up vehicle. Maybe they're learning how to use a new 2.5-inch nozzle hose, or maybe they got a new pumper truck, or they got this or that. You say, what's all that about? He's learning how to rescue people from the fire. Is that what he's doing? Is that what do you call a firefighter? What do you do? What's a firefighter do? Boy, you're smart. You didn't even have to have above a third grade education to find out what a firefighter. Even Greg knew that. Maybe not Greg. It may be just a little above him. But a firefighter does what, Greg? He fights fire. Protects lives. That's their motto, to protect and to serve. And that's what they do. They go out there and in service to the community. Brother Greg, there ain't a doubt in my mind that if a house beside of us was burning and Jake has a turnout gear and he's been trained, he's properly trained in that, he'll grab that respirator pack, he'll put that air tank on his back, and he'll don all his gear. And if there was a mama crying out, I've got a baby up here, I've got a youngin that's about to perish in these flames, ain't no doubt in my mind he's going to go and he's going to try his best to do whatever means my necessary that he can do, Brother John, to get that youngin out of that house. Why? Why would he do that? Because he don't want that youngin to perish in that fire. Why do we take such a callous approach to sin? Do you know what it's doing to people? It's putting them in the fire. It's putting them in the flame. I just told you that the death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. The sea gave up the dead which were in them. And the Bible said the books were opened, another book which is the book of life. And those whose names were not found therein were cast into the lake of what? Fire, which is the second death. Now, I told you about that little parenthetical in there. For the wages of sin is death. Look at that next word. What's that next word? What? What? Don't you like it when God butts in? Don't you like it when God comes on the scene and he says, wait a minute here. The wages of sin is death, but bless God, I conquered death. The Bible said, oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? The last enemy to be conquered is death. And bless God, he did that when he went to the cross of Calvary. And bless God, he bled, suffered, and died the death that we deserved. And he took up his life again. And he lives forevermore. He defeated death. Yes. And we can live because of what he did. Then you preacher, how are we going to get out of this burning fire? We need the firefighter. Here in Wilkes County, we better call us one of them firefighters. I'm telling you what, the fires of hell will never be extinguished. The fires of hell are a vehement flame, burning 7 times hotter, Brother Scott. They're hot. They're tormentuous. They're terrible. I know one that can deliver you. You said, preacher, is that your son-in-law? No, it's not him. He's got the training. He can't help you beyond the grave. You can do it, preacher. Preacher, you pastor church for 36, nearly 40 years. How many people did you save? What? You mean to tell me you pastored that church for 36 years, you didn't ever save anybody? What in the world's wrong with you? For nearly 20 years, I've been pastoring. Brother, you know how many people I've saved, Brother Greg? None. Preacher, you ought to quit then. You and him together got nearly 60 years of ministry, and neither one of you ever saved a soul. That's because it's not within us to do that. It's not there. He's not Benny Hinn. I'm not Benny Rooster. We're not going to be able to do anything for anybody. If I had the power to come by and touch you and you be healed, I wouldn't be here. I'd be down at Brenner's. I'd close that door on the way out, brother. I'd take every empty bed. I'd take them kids out of there with me. Neither can we heal people, but neither can we save them. You know what's causing people to go to hell? You know what's causing people to get into that situation? Sin. As Barney Fife said after the sermon of the day, Dr. Tucker and Dr. Breen comes down. He preached on, what's your hurry? Slow down. Take it easy. Let's have a band concert tonight. Barney comes out of the church and he says, that's a good message, preacher. That's one subject you can't preach enough about. Sin. How many messages have we heard, Brother Kenny, that you didn't hear the word sin mentioned? I was thinking about that. How many messages have I preached and never really got down on sin? I preach about get your head up, try to encourage you. Preach about the lifter up of mine head and how that he wants to lift you up and exalt you and bring you back from your depression. I preach about comfort. I preach about that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I preach exciting messages about these things, about a celestial city with a street of gold and where the angels sing and our Savior reigns forevermore. Now, I preach about those things, and I should. They're in the book. But once in a while on a Sunday morning, such as this, God runs something so strong and so purposed in my heart that it comes out on a Sunday morning, preacher. Sin. My friends, you won't prosper as long as you cover it. I promise you that I can show you in the book of Proverbs, you will not prosper as long as you keep hiding that. Brother Dean's shaking his head. You found that to be true in your own life. Can I tell you just a little bit of your story? Is it okay? I'm not doing this to embarrass you.
I love the Lord.
Amen. I know you do. Tell them what you did for above 23 years. He put a bottle in other people's hand. Yes, he did. He was the distributor for one of the major alcohol companies in this country. Dean got his heart right with God, and Dean comes back and said, that's the end of that. I'll never do that again. Then God put him up in another little place. He was still helping people, but it was through Holly Mountain IGA, helping him with Twinkies and bagels and candy and food. Whole lot less intrusive than alcohol. You love the Lord. But I told you that if you tried to do the serve, you can't serve both. You can't serve sin and you can't serve God. They don't work that way. Brother Dean, praise God, I didn't do that to denigrate you, to put you down, brother. You said, I love the Lord, and I believe that. And I'm glad that God got a hold of you, and he'll do it for Jerry Testerman. Brother Jerry, we prayed countless prayers for you in the morning that you got saved, brother, and that you got your heart right with God and got back in here and started sitting beside your wife. That was a prayer answered. And I'm telling you, my friend, it must be dealt with. It cannot be covered. It must be confessed. It cannot be denied, but it can be conquered. Amen. Brother Scott, as you come today, get us a song of invitation. I just implore you, I beg you, to take an inventory. And listen, that word that I've used, if. Brother, first time we ever met. James. If you felt so compelled to come. And if you felt so compelled to come. Jessica, I love you, honey. Anthony, I love you, son. Dennis, I love you. Brother Chad, I can go through and call you guys by name. I love you. But don't you dare come up here to the front of this church and bow your head under here and say, if. Now, I use that word opening many times, Miss Laura. You can't come up here and say, Heavenly Father, if I have sinned, forgive me. Forget it! You have sinned. You said, show me that in the Word of God. The Bible said that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And you make him a liar. I'm telling you, my friends, deal with it. Confess it. Get it out. And let God deal with it. I'm telling you what. You walked in here heavy burden down. You walked in here with a weight of 1,000 worlds on your shoulder. You walked in here a cumbered about with a sin in your life. But my friend, Brother Tim, you can walk out of here. You can walk out of here, Brother Scott, shouting the victory. Bless God. Why? Because you conquered that which was conquering you. You took control of that. Why? You said, how did I do it? You give it to him and he's stronger. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Who's the prince of the power of the world? Satan, the devil, our adversary, the one, the accuser of the brethren, the one that would keep you defeated, the one that would keep you discouraged, the one that would keep putting ill will in your heart towards your brother and your friend, sister and your neighbor. Or you could just confess it. Brother Scott's got us a song.